Those ads we mentioned from the super PAC Winning Our Future that backs Newt Gingrich have begun in South Carolina. As we said, they feature sound from the anti-Romney documentary When Mitt Romney Came to Town. Here's a clip from the trailer of that film.
Romney took foreign seed money from Latin America and began a pattern exploiting dozens of American businesses.
They fire people, they cut benefits, they sell assets.
Who's behind the documentary and who's helping the super PAC run those expensive TV ads? Brian Mooney is with the Boston Globe. And Brian, start with the movie. It was directed by a Jason Killian Meath. Who's he?
He's a guy who helped make ads for Romney's 2008 presidential campaign. And he was hired by Barry Bennett, who shelled out the $40,000 to produce the film.
And who's Barry Bennett?
Bennett was formerly associated with one of these super PACs that supports Texas Governor Rick Perry, who's still hanging by his thumbs in the race. He has said he has since disassociated himself with Perry and was just being, I guess, an Republican-friendly entrepreneur.
Well, so you have in the director at least somebody who actually worked on the 2008 Mitt Romney campaign. He might have, as an ad person, he might have access to some insider information. But as far as we can tell from the trailer, the film seems to feature people who say they lost their jobs because of work that was done by Bain Capital, the investment firm that Mitt Romney used to run.
Right. Yeah. And I don't think anyone's disputed that at this point. I mean, you know, some of this stuff will be vetted once it's up and running. Bennett said that he got the material that the film is based on opposition research, which these campaigns do against their opponents. They get as much information about their backgrounds as they can. And he said, I think he got them from three different campaigns. He didn't identify them, but, you know, they get out there and they're floating around. I have some here on other candidates. Now, this stuff is 4 years old. The opposition research on Romney and Bain goes back to Ted Kennedy's campaign for the Senate in 1994 when Romney challenged him, and Kennedy's campaign used a case study of one of these companies called AMPAD, an Indiana paper company, to basically stop Romney in his tracks as he was surging in the polls.
So this producer, Barry Bennett, has this opposition research and political reports that after he financed the movie with $40,000 out of his own pocket, he shopped it around, and that the Huntsman super PAC saw it but declined to use it. And off it went to the Gingrich-backing super PAC, Winning Our Future.
I think there was a stop at the Perry campaign somewhere along the way there, too. So the pro-Gingrich super PAC, which is technically independent of the campaign and the candidate, then apparently purchased it. And he says he recouped his cost. He didn't make any money off of it.
Well, and now enter Sheldon Adelson. Who is he?
Sheldon Adelson is, according to Forbes magazine last September, the eighth wealthiest person in the United States, worth $21.5 billion. He's made his fortune in casinos and resort hotels, enormous resort hotels in Las Vegas, Macau, and Singapore. He's a native of Dorchester, Massachusetts. He's a college dropout. He grew up very poor, the son of a cab driver. He speaks fairly eloquently of his upbringing in a rare network television interview in 2010 with ABC Nightline. And, you know, is just a pure entrepreneur. He made and lost small fortunes early in his career. He's tried all different kinds of businesses. When he got to Las Vegas, he hit the jackpot. And he may be the eighth wealthiest person now. In 2007, he was the third wealthiest person, according to Forbes, worth about $40 billion, but lost something like $25 billion in the meltdown of 2008. And there's a quote in the Nightline thing. He says, I lost $25 billion. I started with zero. You
know, what do I care?
Yeah.
Well, and Sheldon Adelson happens to be a story of a self-made man right in our own backyard here in Massachusetts. He grew up in a triple-decker in the Dorchester. Mm-hmm. And he talks about on that Nightline program how there was one bed in the apartment. He, his parents, and his three siblings all slept in that bed. You know, definitely a self-made man. He also talks in an interview with Strip View Live. This is a TV show from Las Vegas, about entrepreneurs and their path to success. Let's listen.
How can you achieve your dreams? I'll tell you the secret, but nobody ever follows it. Just do things in life the way other people don't do them. Change the status quo, and then you'll succeed. I've said that 1,000 times. Nobody listens.
So there's Sheldon Adelson, one of the richest men in America. And as we mentioned, we have the Gingrich campaign coming out of Iowa, battered by the Romney super PAC negative ads. The Gingrich campaign doesn't have a lot of money itself. And so we understand there were reports that Newt Gingrich turned to his friend, Sheldon Adelson, to help out his campaign. Adelson also more than likely aware that a super PAC backing Gingrich, of course, they can't work with Gingrich, but that a super PAC backing Gingrich now has this documentary about Mitt Romney, but also doesn't have a lot of funds to turn that documentary into ads. What is the connection between Sheldon Adelson and Newt Gingrich? We understand they have a longtime friendship. Based on what?
Most people tell you that there's a foundation based on their mutual support for the security of Israel. Adelson is very much of a hardliner. He opposes the two-state solution. When Gingrich said not long ago that the Palestinian people were, quote, an invented people, Adelson basically echoed that remark in remarks to some an organization that brings Jewish high school students from all over the world to Israel. So they're simpatico on that. But I think they share a lot of similar conservative views on things like organized labor. Adelson operates maybe the only major non-union hotel on the Las Vegas Strip, the Venetian and the Palazzo. But they've become very close friends as well. It's not just a relationship of convenience or...
Right. They are bonded for many decades. Yeah. And to Sheldon Adelson's fierce devotion to Israel, there was a 2008 New Yorker profile by Connie Brook. I know you've read it as well. Just, you know, really fascinating reading.
Yeah, it's a great piece.
And she tells a story about how Sheldon Adelson is in the George W. Bush White House haranguing the now former president about Condoleezza Rice's two-state solution talks. Bush reportedly said to someone after that meeting, "I had this crazy Jewish billionaire yelling at me." And he's incredibly vocal. Just a little bit more about his support for Israel. He bought a newspaper, which...
I think he started a newspaper. It's a free daily that is very supportive of Prime Minister Netanyahu and his Likud party.
He's credited with getting Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu reelected.
And he's also very involved in a lot of philanthropic activities in Israel and the U.S. So he has a major presence in both countries.
And Brian, you were just explaining that Mr. Adelson is a longtime friend of Newt Gingrich's, but does he also have a beef against Mitt Romney?
I'm not aware that he does. This donation to the super PAC was first reported some time ago by Politico, which said he had committed to give $20 million. And he gave an interview and said, "I haven't committed anything, and I certainly haven't committed $20 million." So this was in the works a while back. Now, whether it was designed specifically to fund these ads in South Carolina, I tend to doubt that. I think it was just sort of generally helping Gingrich's cause. That super PAC spent about $1.5 million in Iowa helping Gingrich running positive ads. So they're already a presence in the game.
So you've made it clear that you don't think Sheldon Adelson, has a beef with Mitt Romney. It's more that he supports Newt Gingrich. But there were many Republican Romney backers who reportedly called Sheldon Adelson and begged him not to contribute to Newt Gingrich.
I mean, that's not surprising. At this point, you know, Gingrich's chances of winning the nomination are somewhere between slim and none. And, you know, just trying to take down the front runner, particularly with a storyline that has been, you know, pushed by Democrats for years, including this year, about Romney and his activities as CEO of Bain, just seemed to be doing the Democrats' bidding and could cause damage to the person who, you know, at this point looks to be the likely Republican nominee against Obama in November. So, I mean, I think there's just sort of a practical aspect to it in terms of politics. And there are plenty of Republicans who think, you know, geez, we shouldn't be attacking businessmen. It's sort of runs against the brand.
Well, let me ask you about that, because that's what we touched on in the beginning of the program. And now Sheldon Adelson is part of this widening divide in the Republican Party between, you know, what Rush Limbaugh called the elites who back Mitt Romney, you know, someone conservatives see as moderate, and conservatives like Limbaugh who are very uncomfortable with Newt Gingrich's attacks on what they say is capitalism and, you know, Rick Perry has now called vulture capitalism.
Right.
So, you know, Sheldon Adelson, you know, is sort of in the middle of this now.
I don't think he's wittingly in the middle of this. I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but I mean, it just seems unlikely to me that he would step in and intentionally do something to divide the Republican Party. I think he wrote a check. They're using it for this purpose, and the chips will fall where they may. I don't know that it was that much of a conscious effort. It's very controversial within the Republican Party. And, you know, Limbaugh, I mean, who was not a Romney fan in 2008, at the end, when it was apparent McCain was going to be the nominee, I mean, Limbaugh was saying, well, yeah, Romney's the conservative in this race. So it's sort of situational political ethics here.
Right. Well, but it also means that Sheldon Adelson is now in the position of being the guy who, as you said, fought unions at his own casinos in Las Vegas, but is funding a pro-worker ad campaign.
I wouldn't read too much into this in terms of what his intent was and what he thought would happen.
Oh, yeah, I'm saying maybe unintentional, but that's sort of where it is.
I mean, you could read it that way.
Well, what do you think it does say, Brian Mooney of the Boston Globe, who has followed so much politics here? What do you think it does say about super PACs? It's also put the spotlight on them.
Romney has a Romney super PAC called Restore Our Future, which, you know, eviscerated Gingrich in Iowa and ran a lot of negative ads. We know who some of the donors are because they were the earliest active super PAC and they filed a mid-year report back last summer. But none of these super PACs who became active later are going to disclose who their donors are until January 31st, when this race may be over. So we don't know who's given all this money. And, you know, Santorum has a friendly super PAC. Ron Paul has a friendly super PAC. I mean, they all have one, or sometimes two. You're going to be reading about a lot more Sheldon Adelsons when the disclosures start coming out because, you know, there's just a lot of money floating around in the system now that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
And it's all interested money. I mean, there are no altruists writing $5 million checks to super PACs, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And there's this new environment after the Supreme Court ruling where a lot of this money gets spent before anyone knows who has given it and to what end. So there's this, what was once a fairly transparent system of campaign finance has now become translucent, in some cases opaque, and the public doesn't know.
Yeah, I'm wondering, though, I mean, we're not even into a fierce campaign with both parties having huge super PACs. You know, we're not even there. It's not 2008 where you had Hillary Clinton running against Barack Obama. And it just seems that Sheldon Adelson's role might, you know, underscore this idea that one of the richest men in America could single-handedly keep a candidate alive.
But if you take it a step further and you go into things like United States Senate races or congressional races, I mean, you could have an instance where a wealthy business people can literally decide, I'm taking out that member of Congress or that senator because they didn't support, you know, whatever the industry was in the legislation I was hoping for. So, you could literally buy an election. You could buy yourself a senator or whatever. That's the fear of some people who are on the sort of campaign finance reform side.
And, Brian, again, you mentioned you covered the 1994 battle between Mitt Romney and Ted Kennedy when a lot of this Bain Capital information came out and is now fueling this Newt Gingrich super PAC ad campaign in South Carolina. It stuck in 1994. It feels like it's potentially backfiring now. Your thoughts?
Well, in 94, Romney was not well known. I mean, he was an empty slate to most voters, and he rose very quickly in the polls. He advertised early on television and literally pulled ahead of Kennedy in some polls around Labor Day of that year. The Kennedy campaign responded with just a devastating, and it was not just a combination of the television ads, which were very effective, but, you know, they brought workers from this company AMPAD to Massachusetts. They gave interviews. They were on television. So the free or earn media storyline was totally in line with the ad campaign. And Romney, who wasn't well known, you know, took a terrible hit on that, and he eventually lost, I think, by about 17 points in November. He's a lot well known now. Shannon O'Brien, who was the state treasurer who ran against Romney in 2002 for governor, she was a Democrat, they tried the same thing using another case history from Bain, and it didn't work. Romney had been coming off the Olympics. He was kind of a superstar. And I think he's even better known now.
Brian Mooney of the Boston Globe, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Ron.